Tax-advantaged accounts like the 401k and 403b plans are popular ways to invest money for retirement, but unlike traditional pension plans, they require us to manage our investment strategies ourselves. Eleanor Leis, editor of Kiplinger's Retirement Report, and Anthony Webb, a research economist at the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College, join us now on Please Explain to explain how these plans work, how best to manage them, and how to plan and save for retirement. Welcome to our show. We also invite our listeners to join in the discussion. You can give us a call at 212-433-9692 or leave a question on our show page at WNYC.org. Eleanor, when were 401k programs first created?
Well, these programs really came into existence in the late 1970s. The Revenue Act of 1978 kind of laid out the basic rules for 401ks, and they didn't really get going until the early 1980s.
Were they intended to be a replacement for pension plans?
Not in the beginning. They were really seen as a supplement to traditional defined benefit pension plans and Social Security. But as time went on, major employers started to adopt these, and they saw that they were much less expensive to run than defined benefit pension plans, and allowed people to stash money away through salary reductions. And so in those early years of the 1980s, they really started to take off, and that was at the beginning of a major bull market.
To deal with budget shortfalls, many states and municipalities have cut pensions for public workers, and many pension programs have proven to be very expensive for employers to maintain. So are they becoming a thing of the past?
They definitely are dwindling. More and more we're seeing those pension plans frozen or terminated altogether. So this represents a major shift of risk onto workers.
We mostly hear, Anthony, about 401ks, but there are also 403bs. How do they compare?
So sort of 401ks and 403bs are basically doing the same job. 401ks are found in the regular private sector. 403Bs are found in nonprofits and the public sector.
And are they structured pretty similarly? Sorry. Is it just a matter of where you find them?
Yeah, they're basically structured in exactly the same way.
And how do they compare with IRAs and Roth IRAs?
So a 401k or a 403B is an employer-based plan. So you have to be working for an employer who offers one of these plans in order to contribute. You can contribute to an IRA or a Roth IRA subject to income limits, sort of whether or not your employer offers a 401k plan.
Or if you're a freelancer.
And
what's a 457 plan?
I haven't a clue. I'm very confused with the alphabet soup.
I don't know as many details about those, but those are also deferred compensation plans offered to public sector workers.
Well, 401ks and 403bs get their names from the tax code. What are the tax benefits of these plans?
So you contribute to these plans through salary reductions, so you don't need to pay income tax upfront on the money that goes into those plans. So you have years and years of tax deferred growth within the plans, which is quite valuable. And then you pay tax when you withdraw the money in retirement.
So when you need the money, you get taxed on it.
Exactly.
That doesn't seem to be the best way to deal with things. Perhaps I would prefer to have it taxed when I earn it and then get as much money as I can afterward.
Well, there is a relatively new option that some employers are offering called, the Roth 401k, where you would not get the upfront tax deduction, but you would take the money out tax-free in retirement. So depending on what you think is going to happen to tax rates in the future, that might be your best bet.
Anthony, do we know how many people are currently covered by 401ks or 403b plans?
So, roughly one half of the workforce has any kind of a pension plan at all. Only one half.
Now, in the rest are relying on Social Security if they are going to get any money out of that?
Basically, yes. Now, in the public sector, a defined benefits, sort of final salary plans dominate. In the private sector, they've largely gone away except in a very few large employers. And to the extent that private sector workers have any kind of pension plan, then these days it's more likely to be a 401k type plan.
Well, in the simplest terms, for listeners who may not have one of those these plans, or for those who have them but haven't a clue as to how they work, how do they work?
So the basic idea is that you make a salary deferral. Your employer will possibly match all or part of your salary deferral. This money is available for investment in a menu of plans that your employer and the plan provider chooses. What you get out of it at the end of the day is a function of how much you contribute and what investment returns you earn.
Well, if you work way past traditional retirement age, let's say you're working into your 70s or 80s, can you still draw upon one of these plans, or do you have to wait until you retire?
Yes, you can take out the money after age 59 and a half.
With no penalty?
Yes. Of course, you'll pay income taxes, and then if you have left your employer, you're required to start taking money out when you reach age 70 and a half.
Mm-hmm. If you've left your employer.
Yeah, if you're retired. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if you're still working, you can just keep on going until you because you're still accruing more and more money if you keep working.
That's right. It's a tremendous benefit for people who have not saved enough over the years to continue working.
But there's also the matter of what the money is invested in. How much control do we have over that?
Well, you have a fairly limited menu of investment options, depending on the plan. It could be 5 or 12. In a few plans, there's the option to invest through what's called a brokerage window, which would give you access to a vast selection of stocks, bonds, and mutual funds.
Because in most cases, they just give you, as you say, 4 or 5 different things. It could be low risk to high risk. And for somebody who's very sophisticated about the stock market, will that be a little frustrating?
The truth is that more choice is often a bad thing, that really all a household needs to build a portfolio is the opportunity of investing in a bond fund, a stock fund, a money market fund, and maybe an international stock fund. And any more than that is simply adding a complication and confusion.
My guests are Anthony Webb, a research economist at the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College, and Eleanor Lace, editor of Kiplinger's Retirement Report. They join us today on our Please Explain segment to explain the various options for people working toward retirement and after retirement. And this is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. We invite your calls at 212-433-9692, or you can leave a question on our show page at WNYC.org. Eleanor, new rules from the Federal Department of Labor scheduled to take effect later this summer will require greater disclosure about the fees charged on 401ks. What kind of fees are there?
Well, participants are going to see a smorgasbord of fees show up on these disclosure documents that they're going to start getting this summer. There are plan-related fees for accounting, legal services, record keeping, and then there are investment management fees that will be broken out for all of your mutual fund selections. But it's important to remember that this is really only showing a portion of the total fees in your plan.
But to some degree, haven't we already been receiving this kind of information? I know I get stuff in the mail every so often, and it really is depressing because it will point out that I once had more money, I have less money, and at the same time, the person who's handling this whole thing has taken out fees.
It varies from plan to plan, and a lot of plans, the disclosure has been very poor. So investors are now getting more of a glimpse of what these plans are costing them, and a lot of them are going to be really surprised at what they see.
Because most of us are unaware, even the employers, of the nature of these fees?
Employers are, for the most part, very disinterested in what the fees are in the plans because they're paid for by participants. So a lot of employers have not been paying attention to this.
But I'm assuming it varies from the person, the company that's administering the plan to the next one. If a company chooses to go with a certain company, I'm using the same words again, but you know what I mean. It could cost their employees more or less.
So it varies a lot from plan to plan. There are some very good plans with low fees. There are some bad plans with really very high fees. One point to bear in mind about fees is that the fee disclosures will not include trading costs. The costs the investment manager incurs in buying and selling investments, and these costs can be quite significant.
Mm-hmm. So we're not paying for their mucking around with our money.
That's right, and a lot of times plan administrative costs are built into the expenses of mutual funds in the plan. So you look at the expense on your mutual fund, and you don't know if that's covering investment management or if a large chunk of that is actually paying for your plan administrative services.
Is it a good idea to have money in more than one plan, in a 401k and maybe a Roth IRA at the same time?
So not everybody is eligible to invest in a Roth IRA. If your income is over a certain amount, then you cannot contribute.
But if you started one when it was below that amount, it just sits there?
Yes, it just sits there, yeah.
Well, another important point about perhaps having both a Roth and a 401k and a taxable account is just the idea of tax diversification. We don't know what's going to happen to tax rates in the future. They could go up, they could go down. So it's a good idea to hedge your bets by having these different accounts.
What if you're a freelancer or independent contractor who doesn't have a company-provided 401k plan? Is there a way to create your own?
You can certainly contribute to an IRA, a Roth IRA, on your own. There are ways to set up sort of solo 401k plans or SEP IRAs. There's a variety of ways for self-employed people and freelancers to contribute.
And many pension plans require that you work for a certain number of years, usually 5, before you're vested. Do 401ks have the same kind of vesting rules?
Generally, no. You can work for a company for maybe 6 months and then contribute to a 401k, and you'll have that money in retirement.
We have questions coming in from our listeners, although this is something I was going to get to a little later. I might as well just address it now. Susan in Montclair asks, what's the best way to go about finding a financial advisor? I've been told not to work with someone who earns money on the funds and tools that he or she recommends.
One thing you might look for is a fee-only financial advisor who basically earns a fee that's a percentage of your balance rather than one who's earning commissions for selling financial products. There's much less potential conflict of interest. You can also look at a tool on the FINRA website called BrokerCheck to check out a broker's regulatory history.
Mm-hmm. Where the people have complaints.
Yeah, generally, if they've run into any regulatory trouble or customer complaints against them.
Do some plans allow you to borrow from your 401k?
Yes, they do, yes.
What are the advantages of that, or are you paying a penalty for doing that?
You're basically sacrificing investment returns. It's certainly a less expensive form of borrowing than borrowing on credit cards, but it obviously decreases the amount of money available to the household at retirement. And maybe the better solution for the household is to look at its budgeting, its income and expenditure, and see whether it can make a better job of living within its means. And I realize that's not always easy, but that's the better solution.
People should also keep in mind about 401k loans. If you lose your job or leave your job, you're going to have to pay that money back all at once. Otherwise, it's going to be considered a distribution from the plan. So it's generally not a great idea.
Sometimes you just have no choice, but
that's
you
right.
need to borrow the money and it's sitting there.
Right.
Many people move from job to job. How do rollovers work?
Well, when you leave your employer, you have a large number of choices before you. You can roll over that 401k to any number of financial services firms, and you should carefully assess your fees before you do something like that. Take a look at the cost in your 401k and the types of costs that you might pay in a brokerage account. But keep in mind, you know, when you roll over to a brokerage account, you're going to have access to a vast selection of index tracking mutual funds and ETFs that have minuscule expenses.
Well, do these companies all work together? Would TIAA-CREF automatically be open to receiving my 401k from Fidelity?
Lots of firms would be very happy to take your 401k.
I mean, without charging me a lot of money for that?
Right. There's lots of low-fee options available. This is a huge business for the financial services industry.
The really important thing when you change jobs is not to cash out your money. If you cash out your 401k, you first of all incur a tax charge. If you're under 59.5, you also incur a 10% penalty. And finally, of course, you're pushing yourself further and further off track.
What happens when you get divorced? The spouse who's not earning any money take half of your 401k?
Yes, there's a thing called a qualified domestic relations order, which is issued by a court that allows for 401k assets to be divided in a divorce.
So suddenly, here you are, you've been working all these years, and you've accumulated a fair amount of money, and now you discover that you have just half of it available to you.
In some cases, yes.
We'll be taking some listener calls at 212-433-9692. Also, your questions sent to our show page at WNYC.org as we continue this conversation. I'll please explain about retirement plans with Eleanor Lace, editor of Kiplinger's Retirement Report, Anthony Webb, research economist at the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. Again, 212-433-9692. And we are back with Please Explain, a look at retirement plans with Eleanor Lace, editor of Kiplinger's Retirement Report, and Anthony Webb, a research economist at the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. We're taking your calls at 212-433-9692. You can leave a question on our show page at WNYC.org. And let's go to our first caller, Michael from Brooklyn. Hi, Michael.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. How are you today? Earlier in the broadcast, Mr. Webb had mentioned that it's sufficient to have like one type of each fund, a bond fund, a stock fund, perhaps also a money market fund. Is really one type of each fund advisable, or should you diversify and have a couple of stock funds, a couple of bond funds?
If you believe that an actively managed portfolio can outperform a stock index portfolio, then you might possibly want to put together a portfolio of funds. There's very little evidence that actively managed funds do in fact outperform index tracker funds. Yeah. And households might well be better off simply buying a single bond fund, a single bond index tracker fund, a single stock index tracker fund, and varying the proportions in accordance with their risk tolerance.
I agree. If you have a selection of low-cost index funds covering large caps, small caps, bonds, international stocks, you know, these will hold thousands of different stocks and bonds. You don't make it too complicated on yourself. This is a pretty plain vanilla portfolio.
Well, when the Bush administration proposed changing the nature of Social Security, weren't we going to be asked to make those kinds of decisions for ourselves? There are still people who are pushing for privatizing Social Security. Would it be similar to having a 401k?
I'm not sure what proposals are out there right now, but we've seen that participants have tremendous difficulty managing their 401ks. This puts a tremendous amount of risk onto the participants, and Social Security is really one of the few remaining legs of that retirement stool that we have.
Well, not long after it was proposed, the stock market went into a nosedive for a little while, that would be a risk as well, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. You know, even if you make all the right decisions and save like mad in your 401k, there's still the risk that right on the brink of retirement, you're going to see a market meltdown just like we saw in 2008.
Let's go to another caller, Karen from Belleville. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about what to do if you think your, or if you know your employer has withheld or taken some money out of your 401k.
That's illegal, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Can you explain a little bit more, taking it out and...
I'm sorry?
You mean you think he's just borrowed from your 401k? Or?
Well, it was withheld from a paycheck and then never made it into our 401k account, or some of it went out of our account and then that was eventually returned. And now I don't really have any way of knowing if all of what's owed to us is back.
Anthony?
And I'm not even sure. We called the fund, or we called the agency that's managing the fund, and they kind of didn't know anything about it, and they didn't seem to know what to do.
Right, so there's a couple of issues here. The first issue is that by law, the employer has a certain period of time to transmit money he's deducted from your paycheck into your 401k account. The second point is that the 401k assets are not, in fact, held by your employer. They are held by an independent trustee. And it's therefore impossible for the employer to get his hands on those assets once they've been passed into the 401k.
Thank you so much for your call. The biggest question about retirement saving is probably, how do we know how much money we'll actually need? Is there some formula?
There's no strict formula.
Well,
obviously,
most people want to live with a similar income to what they're getting when they're working, I assume.
Exactly. And you know, there's any number of calculators out there on the web to help you get a sense of how much you should be saving. In recent years, some of those rules of thumb in terms of how much we should be putting away have gone up, you know, to around maybe 12 to 15% of your salary. That would include both the workers' and the employer's contribution.
Do you find that it's harder to convince somebody who's starting a career at 22, 23, not making very much money, especially if they're living in an expensive city like New York and retirement seems so far away?
Absolutely, and young people today are very disenchanted with the stock market, having seen what's happened in the past few years. Fortunately, a lot of employers are taking a more paternalistic attitude with their 401k and automatically enrolling workers and defaulting them into well-diversified funds. But you also have to watch out with that. They might default you in at a 2% contribution rate, and that is not enough.
Anthony, are most Americans prepared for retirement, do you think?
Unfortunately not. If you look just at the subset of American households that actually have an IRA or a 401k, And if you look at households aged 55 to 64 years old who are coming up to retirement, the average 401k stroke IRA balance is under $100,000. Now, $100,000 at a sensible withdrawal rate is going to give you an income of $4,000 a year.
Great if you decide to move to Costa Rica, perhaps.
Yeah, it's great for Costa Rica.
But if you're planning to live anywhere else, $4,000 a year will barely cover the rent in most large cities in America.
That's right. Of course, a lot of people have Social Security, but even counting that, so many people are facing a tremendous shortfall, and they're really going to have to rethink the way they live their retirement.
So is it a good idea to get a financial planner, or can you just simply rely on a 401k that comes with the option of letting someone from the program manage your investments?
So we did some calculations at the center. We analyzed the impact of getting your portfolio allocation right versus the income versus the impact on preparedness for retirement of working longer. Now, we calculated that if households chose to retire at age 62, then 74% were going to be unable to maintain their pre-retirement standard of living. But if they worked until 70, then that 74% fell to only 28%. So working longer is a very, very powerful antidote to an adequate retirement saving.
And recent Labor Department figures show that the percentage of workers over 65, the traditional retirement age, is at a record high because people are realizing that they can't afford to retire?
I think so, yes.
So when are you forced to start taking money? Is there ever a time? Does Social Security at a certain point say, okay, you're too old,
right,
you got to get some money?
So you can claim Social Security benefits as early as age 62. If you wait until age 70, the benefits increase by approximately 75%. So households have a very, very strong incentive to postpone claiming benefits. Now, after 70, there's no further increase, so it makes no sense to postpone claiming after 70.
Doesn't Social Security say to you, you have to take the money out after you're 70?
Well, you will get the Social Security benefits at 70. That's kind of the latest date that you would claim. Another thing to point out just about working longer is, yes, many people are planning to work longer, but the statistics also show that about half of recent retirees have retired earlier than they anticipated for negative reasons, such as losing a job or health problems. So this is very nice if you can do it, but don't count on it.
And with 8.2% unemployment rate, you're less likely to be hired at the age of 67 than you are at the age of 27.
Exactly.
John from Hoboken, you're on the air. John, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
I'm calling because I recently lost employment, and I have a couple $1,000, definitely under 10 in my 401k, and it's just sitting there. It's been sitting there at the company for a couple of months. I'm just wondering what my best option is at this point as far as transferring. I mean, I'm taking classes, I'm taking a master's, so I'm not prospectively looking for employment within the next month or so. So I just wonder what's the best thing for me to do with that those funds.
It depends on your investment options in the 401k and what level of fees that you're paying. But many, many people find that they're able to find lower cost investments in an IRA. So, you know, you could roll it over to a low-cost provider and get investment options that are, you know, under 0.1% annually, and that's going to be your best bet for that money to grow over the years until retirement.
Okay, great. So I can pull it out of the 401k in the current company and transfer it into an IRA of my choice?
Exactly. But as Anthony pointed out, don't cash out, you know. Make sure you roll it over to the IRA. You don't want to have that money leaking out.
And if you only have a couple of thousand, you may be up against minimum limits. So you may have to shop around and find a company that's willing to accept your transfer.
But you won't be taxed as when you take it out of one and put it into the other.
There's no tax on rollover.
Thank you so much for your call. Dana left this question on our show page. I work for a large corporation which provides both a pension and a 401k. I know very little about financial matters. How necessary do you think it is for me to enlist the help of an independent financial advisor as I approach retirement? I have about 7 years before I retire.
Well, given that you're so close to retirement, it may be a good idea to consult a financial planner. As I said, a fee-based advisor might be a good bet. Before you do that, maybe you want to take a look at some of the retirement income planning tools that you can find online for free. Since you have a pension, you're able to invest a bit more aggressively with your other money, and that can help you ensure that it lasts throughout retirement.
Now, a couple of listeners have written in to express their skepticism about 401ks and other plans. Are they the best options for people? The only options?
They're the only options for many people. And I think the message from the market meltdown is that you really have to sort of keep calm and carry on.
That's very reassuring, Anthony. Okay, let's take another call. Mike from Manhattan, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I'm on Social Security, and I'm within a few years of the 70 and a half mandatory age when you must reduce your retirement bundle by 4% per year. And that 4% is more than I need to live. Of course, it's taxable when you do that. And interest rates are so low, I wonder if your guests would provide some advice what I can do with the sort of excess. If I put it in treasuries, I'm going to end up net of inflation with a loss of capital. Any ideas?
Right. The IRS requires you to make withdrawals at age 70 and a half, but the IRS does not require you to take them and spend them. So if you have an IRA or a 401k invested in a particular investment option, then there's no reason why when you've taken it out, you cannot reinvest it in the same type of investment.
Thank you so much for your call. We have very little time, but a couple of listeners have asked about using a 401k to put a down payment on a house. Is that a good idea? Because the mortgage will save you some money on taxes.
If you don't have the down payment available in a taxable account, it could be a good idea to use the 401k to help you get there. But keep in mind, this is kind of putting you behind on your retirement savings, so it's not ideal.
And then you're going to have to pay back the money because you've taken it out as a loan?
I believe some plans let you just take that money and pay income taxes on it, but not pay it back if it's for a first-time home purchase.
Thank you both so much for being on today's Please Explain segment. I've been speaking with Eleanor Lace, editor of Kiplinger's Retirement Report, Anthony Webb, a research economist at the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College, and you're both young enough to not have to worry about retirement. Are you worried for me? Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you. Thank you.